What really gets my dick hard is...
So fucking what?
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast, episode 6. This is a bit of an off-topic one, but this is what we want to cover across the Metallica map. This episode is top tens, and
Well, who doesn't like a good top 10?
Agreed. And we've talked about things like this. We're gonna go outside of albums, outside of members, outside of tours, whatever, and just random stuff like this. Kind of gives you an idea of where we are as Metallica fans, and also it helps you, as a listener, you can chime in as you're listening and email us and tell us your top 10. So what we're doing on this episode, episode 6, is our top 10 favorite Metallica songs and our top 10 deep cuts.
Mm-hmm. Add a little spice to that top 10.
This is like the Tapatio of episodes for me.
But top 10s are cool because it's much like the Cliff versus Jason question, much like the Reload combo.
Yeah, totally.
You can learn a lot. You can sort of orient yourself in the Metallica universe.
Yeah, it's very objective too. I mean,
subjective.
Whatever.
It's very objective. These are the right and wrong answers about the
exactly.
best.
Exactly. My list is correct.
The many Metallica fans do feel that way.
Sorry, I've had a long week. It's just after the holidays. I've been through a lot in the last week, and it's subjective.
Yeah.
Not objective.
That's okay.
All right. Well, what's also going to be fun here is that we're going to go from number 10 to number 1 for me and Clint.
And we don't know what each other's lists
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought long and hard about mine, typed it out, got it printed in front of my face right now. Excuse me. And Clint has done the same. And I think we're going to start with me at number 10, go down to number 1, go back and forth, have a little discussion in there. And as you're listening, you might have your top 10 songs, top 10 deep cuts. Again, feel free to email us at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. Give us your top 10 deep cuts. Either one. We would love to talk about those on another episode.
Yeah, we'll pick a few to read on subsequent episodes. We're going to read some of your top 10s. And I think the top 10 deep cuts is almost the more interesting list.
I think so. I've got some good ones.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, it's my list, so of course they're good ones.
But. So again, we're going from 10 to 1. So let's start with your... So the first list is top 10 kind of all time.
Yeah, and this was tough.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of songs out there, and excuse me, sorry, I got a little bit of a cough right now. Sorry,
we forgive you. The Metallica universe forgives you.
I'm not the Unforgiven. sorry, I had to do a bad pun in there. I apologize.
The Unforgiven 4.
Unforgiven 4.
About a guy that coughed a lot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so to me, the deep cuts I felt were a little easier to compile,
really?
But the top 10 songs, that was tough.
Well, let's go ahead and put the disclaimer in that these probably change all the time depending on the year, the mood, the season.
Sure.
These aren't set in stone. It's okay.
Of course, yeah, but currently, present day, in 2017, these are what I feel are my top 10 favorite Metallica songs.
All right, let's hear what number 10 is.
Number 10.
Yeah.
It's a surprise right out of the gate.
I
didn't limit myself to just the 10 official albums.
So you included...
there's still songs that Metallica wrote.
So...
For instance, like...
Is your number 10 I Disappear?
No.
Okay.
No.
So let's talk about what this all includes then. Albums?
Well, no.
Does it include covers?
No, I wouldn't say live albums as in like... I like the live version of Creeping Death.
Right.
Just Creeping Death. I'm talking about just original Metallica material. You know, you could...
Is your top 10 of all time just the entire Lulu album?
Yes.
That would be quite
Even
the surprise.
It's not 10 songs. But I feel like there are B-sides that weren't on official records, like
right.
Bread Fan, something
like
that. Or
No Leaf Clover or something.
Totally. Speaking of number 10, my number 10.
Did I nail it?
You nailed it.
No Leaf Clover.
No Leaf Clover.
Fuck yeah. I love that that's in your top 10.
I thought long and hard about it.
I am surprised by it.
Well, I figured it would be surprising, but it's one of those songs they never officially put it on a record, but yeah. On the S&M record, it's such a good song,
it's one
and
of
I would
my
love
favorites.
To hear yeah. it on album.
Yes.
It probably will never be on
I
album.
I guess the time for that's passed, right? I wonder if they did record it, though. It's just sitting somewhere.
I'm sure they did. I mean, those guys record pretty much everything. They demo everything, every idea, all that stuff.
What's crazy is it kind of became, I don't know if it was intentional, but kind of became a single.
Totally.
Because there was a video of the S&M performance.
Yep. Yeah.
When I went and saw them in 2001, that was a big song. They played it both shows, or no, the second show I
it's
saw.
It's such a good song. I wish they would play it more now.
I love that James vocal at the end when he opens it up.
Oh, going for the falsetto thing?
When it comes
thing?
To be, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man.
All right, so that's my number 10.
Great number 10.
Number 9, you might be surprised by. My number 9 is Orion.
Orion.
Instrumental.
Yeah.
Master Puppets is my favorite record, but I felt Orion was a good number 9.
Some of you might remember from our Master of Puppets episode when Ethan actually picks up a guitar, a bass.
A hollow body Guild bass.
And
yes.
plays Orion.
I do. Sloppily, I'm sorry. Yeah. Little known fact, we do drink a little whiskey / vodka while we record these. No big deal.
We feel like we have to honor a band like Metallica.
Totally. Number 8.
Mm-hmm.
My Friend of Misery.
Yes. Deep cut Black Album track.
But not on my deep cut list.
Right, right,
to
right.
me, it's like...
But a lesser known, sort of less played.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Very, very less played. I love it for a lot of reasons. I love that it's, you know, the intro is Jason just on bass.
Mm-hmm.
I love the B-bender part in the song.
Really pretty bridge section.
Totally. I just think it's a very well-written song, well-orchestrated, well-arranged. I think it's a song that, you know, like we talked about in the last episode, I think it's a song that Cliff Burton would really like.
Yeah, I do too.
This might surprise you. My number 7?
Yeah.
Battery.
Wow. I thought that would be higher on your list.
I thought you would think that.
I thought you would think I would think that.
That's
and,
crazy.
And yeah. Now we're in Inception.
Well, yeah, you know, it's when you hear the rest of mine, you might understand it more, or you might be surprised. I don't know. So, yeah, Battery number 7. Again, this might change next week, but right. today, yeah, number 7, Battery holding strong.
Is it your favorite first song on a Metallica record?
Nope.
Oh, whoa. All right.
Master Puppets overall is my favorite record.
Right.
But Battery is not my favorite leadoff track.
Okay.
Not my favorite leadoff
track.
So
what's your number 7?
That's my number 7. Number 6, Sanitarium.
Yeah. Again with the Puppets theme.
Yeah. Probably my favorite quote-unquote ballad next to Fade to Black.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I think it's perfectly orchestrated and arranged. And like, it's that Metallica formula, you know, that they developed of where it's...
The fourth track was kind of the...
Totally. Yeah, it starts off mellow, builds up, chorus right. is big, comes back down. The outro just keeps going and gets bigger and bigger.
We talked about this on a previous episode, I think on the Puppets episode. Is Sanitarium your favorite Kirk? You know, all of those songs have a Kirk solo in the beginning.
Totally. After the first chorus.
So was Sanitarium your favorite one of Kirk's moments?
It's pretty good. I mean, it's...
Like, what
I would
it
say
about?
It's pretty damn good. Like,
yeah.
I love the intro solo. Sanitarium is essentially the Fade to Black formula.
Right. For sure it is.
I like, because, I mean, there's an intro solo. There's another lead after the first chorus, or Fade to Black. It's not really a chorus, but you know what I mean?
Chorus section. There's
totally,
no lyric, but.
Totally. I think Sanitarium, I mean... You know, a good example of how beautiful those parts are that Kirk wrote is when you listen to Apocalyptica.
Mm, yes.
And they do their version of Sanitarium, and you hear Kirk's leads.
It brings it out.
Done on cello.
Yep.
Totally.
I agree.
So that's number 6. Number 5, Unforgiven.
Ah.
Unforgiven 1.
Original Unforgiven.
Original Unforgiven. I think that's just, you know, just last week I was driving down to Texas to see some family. And I left my house at like 6 in the morning. Sun was still down. And I normally listen to podcasts while I'm driving because it makes the time go by quick. And it was early in the morning. I was drinking coffee and I just put on the Black Album just because, you know, I hadn't listened to it all the way through in, I mean, not that long, like maybe 6 months.
Yeah, I haven't either in a while.
But the Unforgiven came on and I was just like, man, what a, I mean, the whole record is bold, but that is such a bold song, you know, probably the next slowest song to Nothing Else Matters. Kirk's solo is great.
The solo is wonderful in Unforgiven.
Oh yeah. And that was one of those moments in, you know, a year and a half in the life of Metallica
where they really have to fight to get there.
Totally. And Bob Rock kind of gives him shit like, come on, guitar player of the year.
Oh, I love that.
And you know, it shows in the song. I mean, that solo is beautifully written.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
He really did a good job with it. And I know as a guitar player, and you might know this too, is that, you know, there's times you're in the studio, you're working on a song, you'll sit there and do take after take and improv, essentially, and things start to slowly piece together. And I feel like when you watch the footage of him doing this, you know, in that documentary, that's what he's doing.
It's really cool to see Bob Rock push him so hard.
Totally.
To just really dig deep and try to get something special. Yeah. And thank goodness they did, because I think in that scene, Lars is actually sitting there kind of arguing.
Right.
And Bob's like, I'm just trying to get a good performance.
Right.
If you want that, fine.
Yeah.
If you want some bullshit, fine.
Well, Bob Rock won because...
Way to go, Bob.
Because he got, I would say, one of Kirk's best moments on record.
I can't wait to do our Bob Rock episode because...
Oh, that'll be good.
He's a special dude in that band.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was kind of a fifth member for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, Unforgiven, I mean, it's...
Solid. So that's your...
Very solid.
That's your number five?
That's my number five. All right. So number four... Fade to Black.
Yep.
Favorite song off of Ride the Lightning. We talked about this in the Cliff Burton episode. I mean, I love Cliff's influence on the song. Yeah. I mean, it's...
What did you say before, too? It was the first Metallica song you learned to play?
Yeah. I'm 99% sure that was... the intro. Just the intro. When I was, you know, 12 years old, it was a little hard to play a lot of those parts. But yeah, that was one of the first songs I learned how to play on guitar. First Metallica songs. And to this day, I mean, I think it's such a, you know, it's not very metal to say beautiful, but it's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
It's very depressing about losing gear and stuff. But
we can redefine what it is to be metal. There can be beauty,
you know,
in metal.
I don't care. James would tell anybody like, oh yeah, this is beautiful. I think it's a beautiful song. It's very well written. It's very well arranged. And Cliff Burton, I think, had a great influence on this song.
Yep.
You know, one of two tracks on that record that had acoustic guitar, not very metal, but
which I think honestly the acoustics on Ride the Lightning sound great. Like they were engineered really well.
Yeah, they sound awesome.
Like, you know what I mean? I'd be curious to see like what they used for that, for the gear for that.
Yeah, I have no idea. When we have Fleming on, we'll ask him.
Flaming,
yeah.
Rasmussen?
Flaming Rasmussen.
Deletes.
Yeah, when Fleming comes on, you know, because he's dying to do the podcast.
Yeah, he's just wringing his hands right now in Copenhagen.
He's like, please let me do the podcast.
That's pretty good.
That's probably not
you just did Lars's dad, who's also from Denmark.
My default is like a German accent, which is still not good. I'm sorry, German fans. But yeah, anyways, all right. Number four, Fade to Black. Number three. Okay. My top three was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Number three, Four Horsemen.
Wow.
Yeah. First song on my list, from Kill 'Em All. That was a tough record.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good songs on Kill 'Em All, but Four Horsemen is my favorite.
And I'm guessing you prefer Four Horsemen over the Mechanics.
True.
The Mustaine version. With far inferior lyrics.
Yeah.
Or do you like the Mechanics? I don't know.
I mean, I think it's cool. It's fine. I mean, it's, you know.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's not the Four Horsemen. It's not Kill 'Em All. I like Megadeth. I like that record. But Four Horsemen is a great song. You know? That was their debut record. And they had like a bridge on that song that was essentially kind of going into ballad territory.
Moody, yeah.
Totally.
Really cool of them to do that.
Excuse me. All right, number one and two. Here we go.
All right. What's number two?
Number two is Master of Puppets.
Yes.
I mean...
Quintessential Metallica.
Of course, yeah. But undeniably an incredible Metallica song.
Yep.
Easily, you know, if you sat someone down and wanted to introduce them to Metallica...
Yeah.
and they were like, just play me one song that defines this band's career. I think Master of Puppets is a perfect song.
And if they didn't dig it, you'd be like, okay, well, that's the end.
Okay, well, you should not listen to Metallica. You should go and listen to...
You are not going to like what this band's about.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned in the last episode, which I think is pretty interesting, Cliff Burton's favorite Metallica song.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Master of Puppets. Very cool.
Totally. But there's, you know, there's good elements, you know, there, it's not, there's no like, super fast part where it's like thrashy.
Yeah.
But there's thrash elements there. There's ballad elements.
Mm-hmm.
Great composition. I mean, again, I can go back to, you know, Apocalyptica, their version of Master of Puppets. When you listen to it, it's like, you could play this in some fancy ass restaurant in LA or New York.
Sure.
While people are eating like a grass. $300 meal, eating grass,
eating seaweed.
Totally. And, you know, they'd be like, this sounds marvelous. Whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
I do have to say that while Ethan was just doing that, he had his pinky up to his...
I did.
He's doing the...
It's back right now. It's next to my mouth. All right.
Number one of all time, which could change tomorrow, but it's your number one of all time today.
Can you guess?
Oh, I won't spend too much time.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Can I get three guesses?
I'll give you three. Sure.
Is it Creeping Death?
Nope.
Oh, I should know this. We're too good of friends, and we talk about Metallica too much for me to not know this. It's got to be something off Puppets.
It's not.
Oh, no. Dire's Eve.
Close.
Damn. Close. So I'm guessing it's off Justice.
Correct.
Blackened.
Yep. Blackened is my number one this week.
Tell me about why that is.
Well, I will say that Dire's Eve was a contender.
Yeah.
But Blackened, the backwards intro,
yep,
I think is just amazing.
Super weird timing.
Which, by the way, you can go on YouTube and people have like reversed it so you can hear how they recorded it. Have you ever done that?
I actually didn't know. So that intro that fades in is actually backwards.
It's backwards,
yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube, you can find probably dozens to thousands of people that have reversed it, and you can hear how they recorded it. It's a trip to listen to.
I like that you went from dozens to thousands.
Well, I figure that's a broad spectrum. Sorry, dozens to millions. Is that better?
Maybe dozens
to tens. That's less. No, there's a lot of people. I looked it up one day when I found out that was reverse, and I went on YouTube. And
it's crazy to know that many people have done that, and I didn't even know that was backwards.
Oh, there's plenty of people that have re-recorded bass to that whole record.
Yeah, you're one of them.
Well, I didn't upload it. I just did it for fun one day.
Wow.
Not cool. The whole record. I did like two songs. Short of Straw being the first one I did. But yeah, Blackened's my number one. I think it's...
Very cool. One of my favorites of all time for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, God. I mean, it's there's so many parts of that are old school Metallica. There's stuff that... I think Hetfield's vocal on that song is some of the most aggressive stuff he's done. It's so good. So yeah.
To recap.
Number 10, No Leaf Clover. Number 9, Orion. Number 8, My Friend of Misery. Number 7, Battery. Number 6, Sanitarium. Number 5, The Unforgiven. Number 4, Fade to Black. Number 3, The Four Horsemen. Number 2, Master of Puppets. Number 1, Blackened.
Killer list, dude.
I back it. I mean, we can talk again next week. A couple things might change, but I feel good about that one.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd like to point out nothing off of Load, Reload.
Sin, Anger, Death Magnetic.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I stuck with like kind of the almost classic Metallica
classic
list.
Plus one, yeah.
But we talked about this early before we recorded this episode, is that, you know, most of these songs I've spent...
You have more time with them.
More time with them. The newest song I put on here was No Leaf Clover.
Right.
But, you know, talk to me in like a year and maybe there'll be two songs off of Hardwired. I don't know.
I will talk to you in 1 year.
You better talk to me in a year. We better be doing this podcast.
Hopefully we're still friends in a year.
All right, Clint.
All right.
Your top 10.
Here we go.
I'm not going to look in your direction because I don't want to take a glance at your
list.
Don't
peek.
What's your number 10?
Number 10, and I actually really thought about this because whenever you bring a newer song into the canon, you have to be careful, I think.
A newer song.
So
I feel like it's off of Load or Reload.
No, it's real, real new.
Oh, like the newest?
My number 10 is Dream No More.
Really?
Which...
You went straight to the new record.
It beat out... I mean, once you hear the rest of my top 10, you will realize that it beat out some real classic shit. And okay. I really mean it. because
I mean, it's a great song.
I think it's going to be a classic. It's it sounds like the best of the Black Album to me. It sounds like Sabbath True Part 2, kind of.
Totally.
And I love that the subject matter, I mean, the hook of the song, he says Cthulhu Awaken. So it's a song about Cthulhu. A lot of Hardwired, not a lot, some of Hardwired is too much a throwback. To me, the main riff of Atlas Rise sounds like Through the Never. It kind of does that.
Yeah, totally.
I'm Dreaming of More, he's singing about Cthulhu, so it kind of goes back to that Ride the Lightning cliff stuff. But I love it.
I'm just really surprised that you took a song that's, what, 2.5, 3 months old?
Yeah.
And that's on your top 10 of all time.
I listen to Dream No More about 5 times a day, every day. I love it. I love the groove of the verse. And James's voice is so strong. It feels like that mid-90s James.
Right. I will say that in that same vein of picking a song off
the I just saw you look at my list, by the way. Don't look down there.
I can't read it. Your font is so small. My font is huge. Look at this.
Not to me. I have terrible vision.
Okay, well, I have good vision. I still can't read yours. But in that same vein of, you know, Dream No More sounding kind of like older James and this and that, I feel the same way about Halo and Fire.
Yeah.
I think his vocal on that is so good, and we'll get into that on that episode.
It is a really good time to be a Metallica fan because, I don't know if you guys agree or not, but Hardwired to Self-Destruct kicks fucking ass.
It's so good.
And it does harken back to Load, Reload. To me, it's like the best of Black Album, Load and Reload. So however you feel about those records.
To me, it's a best of their entire catalog.
Yeah, you're right. Because the song like Hardwired is thrash as fuck.
And
Spit Out the Bone.
Oh my God, song's so good. All right, back to your list.
Anyway, I was really pleased that this song legitimately made it into my top 10. It wasn't me posturing it in. Yeah. Like, it really is in my
top 10. I'm proud of you because I was on the fence about putting in a song off the new record.
Right. Because of pressure?
Pressure and like just longevity. Like I've only spent time with these songs for a couple months now.
Yeah, it was tough. All right, so number 9. This might be a bummer too. I don't know. Bleeding Me.
Oh,
which
okay.
is the big long ballad on Load.
Well, you're a Load Reload guy. Well, that's how you got into Metallica, so.
And Load and Reload is going to feature heavily on both of my lists. There's not much of Load Reload left on my top 10 of all time, but okay. Bleeding Me is my number 9. Big beautiful ballad about his dad dying. I love the chorus. I love the S&M version.
Totally. The S&M version is great.
James's voice is just like butter.
Totally.
It's one of the peaks to me when I think of James's voice. The Bleeding Me of S&M is what I think of.
Yeah, totally.
Number 8, Orion.
Okay.
Which isn't even my favorite instrumental.
We weren't far off from each other. I had Orion at number 9.
Yeah, I was looking at my list when you were reading yours, kind of comparing how close of these were. It's not my favorite instrumental still, To Live Is To Die, just because of it's just lived with me for so long. But Orion is in my top 10 of all time.
So does that mean To Live Is To Die is in your top 10?
No.
But you like it better than Orion.
If we're talking straight up instrumentals, I prefer To Live Is To Die.
Okay.
If we're talking pound for pound top 10, Orion takes the cake.
Fair enough.
Because did you know that the third solo in the song is James? I learned that today.
Oh, okay.
So we got Kirk, James, and Cliff.
And Cliff, yeah.
Soloing. It's this beautiful, plodding, melodic thing.
No drum solo, though. It's weird.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness on that one. Number 7, and this ends my... it doesn't. Number 7. Just leave it at number 7. Ain't My Bitch.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Track 1 off Load.
Oh, yeah.
So I was such a young fan at the time, and I was just so excited. I was on board. If I had been an original gangster Metallica fan who still liked Black Album, if I'd have heard Ain't My Bitch, I would have been thinking everything's fine in Metallica land.
Right, totally.
Because this song is brutal.
Yeah.
There's some great double kick in it. There's some great alternate picking. There are moments of it that are kind of thrashy.
Totally.
But it's got a lot of swagger.
Yeah, that was the song that I questioned for a little bit from Load Reload era. Maybe I should put this in my list because I do love that song.
Right. It's like if you're going to pick one.
Right.
It's the cream of the crop for sure to me.
For sure.
There's a lot of attitude in it. I love James's sort of the James-isms in Ate My Bitch.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, I think that's a great choice.
Number six, favorite song off of a Black Album, Through the Never.
Yeah, that's a good song.
I love the chorus. I love the lyric. It's a very strange song. It's a song kind of about a nightmare. Yeah. It's almost like Entertainment Part 2.
Well, I think one of Kirk's finest moments as a lead player on that record.
For sure. On a record full of great lead guitar moments.
Yes. Most of the leads, I would say, I mean, all the leads are great. But I think that's a highlight for Kirk.
And I like that it's kind of buried on the record a little bit. It's mm-hmm. not quite a deep cut. They played it live a lot. And
yeah.
So that's my number six. Number five, and I feel like in my top 10, the last five variate more than the first five. Okay. So we're getting into my songs that have been my favorites for a long time and are unlikely to change.
Right.
Number five, Master of Puppets.
Number five, okay.
This is where we really get into the shit that for me will just always be the top.
I mean, yeah.
And we talked about that song on your list. Wait, what was it on your list?
Mine is number two.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you get it.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I think I get it more because mine's number two.
But you get it at least three positions more than me.
Yeah, that's how much more I get it.
So what else can we say about that? We've said it a lot.
Yeah, we've already talked about that. But, I mean, what the heck?
We're hearing Siri talk now.
By the way, if we could pause for a second. That's creepy sounding.
Suddenly in a horror film?
Seriously. I don't know if you can hear this on the episode here, but...
what is that?
It's I have a roommate that lives above my studio.
Oh.
And you can hear his TV like crazy.
That's your roommate's television?
That was so creepy. He's not even home.
What?
He's at the movies right now.
Sanitarium.
Is that your number four?
No. Oh, Jesus.
God, that was so creepy. Should we edit that out or should we just... I feel like we should... Wow. I feel like we should keep in how genuinely creeped out we were. We're like, what the hell is that? God, speaking
I'm just going to move this right along.
Okay, Clint, number four.
Number four, and I have been given shit for this, but okay. I mean it and I feel it and I believe it. The Unforgiven 2.
Ooh. I back it.
James's voice is beautiful. The lyric is beautiful. I like the continuation of The Unforgiven. I mm-hmm. like that they now have this sort of trilogy of this story. I love the solo. I love the B-bender.
Number four.
It's my number four.
Dude, that's awesome. I back that.
Yeah, I'm into it, dude.
Yeah.
Number three, no surprise to anyone who's listened to any of our previous episodes, For Whom the Bell Tolls. One of my favorite, not only Metallica songs, favorite songs of all time. I love the top of it. I love Cliff's crazy dissonant thing. Because when you hear that song, you just hear Cliff.
And no solo in that song? Like,
there's no... They have that cool
harmony part,
thing,
yeah.
But the end is kind of chaos. I love that it's a song based on a Hemingway novel. Hemingway's one of my favorite writers.
Yeah.
I love that James was diversifying the topics of his writing, especially just on their second record.
Totally.
To me, it's a symbol of the growth of the band.
Right.
I love everything about that goddamn song. So that's my number three.
Yeah, it swings. It's
so cool.
Again, I think we talked about this before on the Red Lightning episode. That's a song that, in my opinion, could have been on the Black Album.
I agree.
Yeah.
Number two.
I'm ready. Your top two. Let's hear it.
Here are my top two. Number two, Blackened.
Okay.
Which I know is your number one, so we're not far off.
Yeah. No, I've got nothing to say about this. I back it.
It's one of the coolest riffs they ever wrote. I love the sort of environmentally aware lyric.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, which is so silly, but I love that, like...
See your mother put to death.
For some reason, in 1989, James wanted to write a song about the planet.
That's cool. I mean...
it's awesome.
Well, and as, you know, present day, we listen to him talking about, like, you know, keeping bees.
He's the beekeeper.
And being organic
Papa
and all this
Het,
stuff.
Papa Het, the beekeeper.
Like, maybe these lyrics ring true now, you know,
but
in
that,
2017.
That riff, for those of you out there in Metallica land who do play guitar... That riff is unassumingly brutal and very complicated.
Especially if you play it like Hetfield does.
Which is his own all flavor.
All downstrokes.
All downstrokes, which will wear your ass out.
Oh, it hurts, yes.
I have to actually do the dun-dun-dun-dun. I have to do that alternate picking so I can save my downstroke.
It's stamina. Tough. It really is tough. I have done it numerous times.
Right.
However, if I haven't done it for a while and I try to play black and all downstrokes,
if you give me a Scarface mound of cocaine, I can do it in all downstrokes.
Oh, easy.
For like 30 years totally. Straight.
I've never done cocaine, but I can imagine that, yeah.
All right. Number two, blackened. Can you guess what my number one is? I bet you can. You can. What's my number one? What's my number one Metallica song?
Your number one?
You know it. Just look within. Look within yourself.
Struggle within?
No.
Your number one Metallica song. I would like to guess that it's off of Red Lightning.
Correct. Correct.
Fight Fire with Fire.
Come on, bro. My number one favorite Metallica song.
Creeping Death.
Creeping Death.
I mean, yeah. The crazy thing about a song like that is, like, I'm surprised at myself for not having that on my list. As much as I love it, they're a hard band to narrow down 10 songs.
It's
and like
tough.
You said, it will change.
It's tough, and they change.
But
it's
Creeping fluid. Death is fucking great.
To me, it's quintessential Metallica. It's quintessential thrash, heavy, great hook Metallica.
Totally.
Obviously, it doesn't include some of their more well-known ballad elements, but like Puppets, it's brutal, it's interesting. He's singing about biblical Armageddon.
Yep.
It's got that great crowd moment that we have Kirk Hammett to thank for, which I don't think we've given Kirk enough love so far on this podcast. We're going to give Kirk a lot of love coming up.
Yeah, we might poke fun here and there, but we do love Kirk Hammett.
But being a kid and falling in love with that song with the big die bridge...
Oh, it's great.
It's still the one I get most. If I see any live show that gets posted on YouTube and I look at the set list, if there's Creeping Death, I go to it first.
Right.
Because I just want to see what's going on. It's a staple.
I mean, it's one of their most played songs.
I think the show they did in London where they're promoting Hardwired, they only did like 8 or 9 songs, and they the first song they played was Creeping Death. They still...
I mean, what a great fucking opener.
And I love that it's was written by all four of the dudes in the core band.
Yeah, totally.
It's just got that imprint. That sound, the sound of Metallica to me is Creeping Death.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's up there with Master of Puppets where it's like,
for sure.
You sit someone down, play me one song. You can play Creeping Death or Master of Puppets.
Right. I agree. So that's my top 10. So to recap them.
Love it.
Dream No More, number 10. Number 9, Bleeding Me. Number 8, Orion. Number 7, Ain't My Biatch. Number 6, Through the Never. Number 5, Master of Puppets. Number 4, Unforgiven 2. 3, For Whom the Bell Tolls. 2, Blackened. 1, Creeping Death.
Love it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah. God, deep cuts.
So deep cuts. This is fun, though.
This is fun, yeah. I'm not nervous about it. I'm just curious to hear what you think about my deep cuts.
I honestly, I can say this about you. I wonder if you would say this about me.
Okay.
I literally have no clue what they're going to be.
Well, I will say this. There's deep cuts is tough because I feel like, how do I say this without saying the song title? Like song A, whatever, to me is like one of my favorite Metallica songs,
right.
But I have to separate myself from being a fan and thinking like, okay, well, in general, this is a deep cut.
Right.
You know, not like, play that much live.
Exactly. What are songs that didn't get a lot of attention?
Right. I think most, I would say most of my top 10 deep cuts are not played that much.
Yeah. One of my deep cuts has only been played one time in the history of the band.
Well, I know that one is.
No, you don't.
I think I do.
Oh, I hope you don't.
All right, let me go through mine.
All right.
All right, so number 10, you'll like this.
Ethan Lux, Metallica deep cuts.
Top 10 deep cuts. As of January 2017, number 10, The Outlaw Torn.
Oh, thank you. Finally, some load, reload action.
I went there. You know, I do like this song. I think this could be, or could have been, a Hetfield solo country song.
Oh, I would love it.
I think there's elements of that good halftime heavy Black Album.
Yeah.
I'm almost surprised they didn't use this on the S&M record. I felt like it could be a good song on that record with an orchestra behind it. There's not a lot of extra instrumentation on the song.
Is Outlaw Torn not on S&M?
Outlaw Torn?
Is it on S&M?
I don't think so.
Let's do a quick fact check of that.
Am
I going insane?
Am I about to get a bunch of hateful emails here?
Well, I said in one episode that Unforgiven 3 was the instrumental song off Death Magnetic.
That's true, you did. Let's see, here we are. Thank you, Wikipedia and iPhones. All right.
Sorry, we are definitely drinking vodka while we do this, and some of these facts might have slipped our
brains. It's not on there.
Okay.
I wanted to confidently say no, it's not on there.
Well, now you can.
Yeah. Yeah, Exodus is Gold, College of Cthulhu, Master of Puppets,
because they S&M had a lot of
knees on there.
Yeah.
Which you talked about.
And Devil's Dance and Memory Remains and Fuel. They did a lot of Load Reload. So they didn't do Outlaw Torn.
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
Outlaw Torn isn't on there. Okay. So that's my number 10. Number 9, Frayed Ends of Sanity.
Some justice action.
Yes.
What do you like about it? Do you like it as a drummer? It's a pretty brutal song as a drummer.
I mean, I love a lot of the drums on Justice.
Yeah.
Even though the snare sounds really thin and everything's really flat on that record. There's not a lot of ambience on that record.
Absolutely true.
Which is fine.
It's kind of the sound of that record.
Totally. And I appreciate that. And I can't argue with it because I got into that record at a young age. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what, mixing was. I didn't know that there wasn't bass. I just thought this is how metal records sound, Yeah, Freedoms of Sandy, I think, is really cool. They don't often play it live.
I know. It's rare.
But it's a really cool song.
I agree.
Number 8, Don't Tread on Me.
Nice. Black Album.
Black Album, yeah. Good swung song.
Yeah.
Live versions back then with Jason singing the Don't Tread on Me. It was fucking great. I think he really nailed that kind of stuff.
See, and those are moments that I love. I mean, just the Jason Cliff thing is just going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen on totally. This fucking podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It is something that I don't think Cliff ever brought to the table, and I don't know if he ever would have, of those the heart in those BGVs, yeah, right?
Yeah, I feel like Jason was almost like the equivalent of, like, in hip-hop, like a hype man.
Yeah.
He was the guy that really got the crowd. I mean, Hetfield... No disrespect.
Master of the stage, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He definitely, the guy throws his arms up and the crowd goes crazy, but Jason would do those backup vocals, those gang vocals, and, even on the S&M thing where, like, he just, when they play A Wolf of Man, he says, got any wolves out there?
Oh.
It's just that.
I love that moment.
Oh, it's great, yeah. But Don't Tread on Me was one of those songs where, like, you hear that good Jason growl, Don't Tread on Me.
Yeah, I miss it.
Totally. I think you're going to like my number 7.
Number 7,
Deep
all
right. Cuts. Unforgiven 3.
Oh!
I was stoked when you said Unforgiven 2 because I thought ahead and I was like, oh, I got Unforgiven 3 on my next list.
So Unforgiven 3.
Off Death Magnetic. I personally like this more than Unforgiven 2.
Okay.
There's just something about it. I think the arrangement's great. I think that Hetfield's lyrics are awesome. And once I found out that he, at some point, maybe not during the Black Album writing period, that he did intend on making The Unforgiven a trilogy,
mm-hmm.
I thought this was a great last song of the three Unforgivens.
So it didn't bum you out that it was kind of part of a... Because some fans, I think, thought it was like kind of gimmicky.
I think it bummed me out when the Load Reload records came out and I saw Unforgiven 2.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Like, are you, I was younger and I didn't really understand, songwriting at that point, like I do now because I'm so smart now.
now, but, strokes his beard.
Totally. Pinky to my mouth. When Unforgiven 2 came out, I my first thought was like, oh, you're trying to recreate the original Unforgiven.
Right.
Not realizing that was the intention. I want to write a sequel to this,
Right.
So when Death Magnetic came out and Unforgiven 3 was on there, I was excited to hear it. And
cool.
I think it's a great song.
That's a great choice, man.
Number 6, To Live Is To Die.
Yes. Boom.
Yep. Yep.
Love it.
Yeah. One of their best instrumentals, hands down. We talked about this one before. So we didn't need to go too far into it.
Yeah, we don't have to go too far into it.
But yeah, it's a great song, and often not played live.
Yeah, they've only done it a handful of times.
Yeah. Occasionally I've heard, you know, they'll do like a medley where they play like the intro riff. Totally.
Chris Jericho asked Lars on the podcast that Lars was on with Chris Jericho,
right,
that we've mentioned in a previous episode. I love that Chris Jericho is actually a pretty big Metallica fan, because he was actually mentioning kind of deep cut shit.
Oh, he totally was, yeah.
And he actually asked Lars, he said, man, you guys are playing some old stuff. Like, how long did you have to rehearse to play like To Live Is To Die?
Yeah.
And Lars goes, oh, man, you'd be surprised at how much of that stuff we wing on stage.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned in that episode how they don't rehearse as much as you would think. You know? Yeah. Totally. All right, number five. The pop sensation of a song, Trapped Under Ice.
The song that they were worried was too poppy for Ride the Lightning.
You know, it's one of those, you know, I was going through Ride the Lightning, and it's tough with certain, the old records that I've spent so much time with.
Yeah.
Like I said before, there's not a lot of songs that I consider deep cuts.
Right.
But when you take into account that they don't play it live that often, yeah, things like that. So Trapped Under Ice fell into that category for me.
Fucking amazing song.
It's a great song. Number four.
Okay.
I'm stoked on this one. Metal Militia.
Oh, right. The last track of Kill 'Em All.
This is, to me, a quintessential thrash.
Yes, I mean, for sure.
It's just, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
They definitely have played it a lot more than, let's say, you know, To Live Is To Die. Mm-hmm. But it's not like a...
It's a deep cut, though.
It's a deep cut, yeah.
Once the ship left, that song kind of got forgotten a little bit.
Totally. Number three, going back to the Black Album, The God That Failed.
Cool.
I really like this song.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know.
I feel like songs like The God That Failed and Struggle Within.
Yeah.
And even My Friend of Misery, if they had been on lesser albums,
mm-hmm,
they would have been the forefront songs.
Yeah.
But it just so happened that they were on albums with Enter Sandman, Sabbath True, Unforgiven, Wherever May Roam, totally, that they get lost a little bit, but...
Right. No, I mean, I love The God That Failed. I think it's a really good song. Good, you know.
And I like the sound of James wrestling with those themes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dyer's Eve, God That Failed...
No, there's definitely a spirituality there that he digs
into
from.
That, right?
Yeah, well, I think his parent was his parents Scientologists,
Christian scientists,
or Christian scientists. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he definitely dabbles in that. I mean, even when he got sober, I mean, there's rumors that he became a born again Christian, like Mustaine did.
What? Yeah. Really?
Look, hey,
yikes!
Look up photos of some of his tattoos.
What are they? Crosses.
Crosses. Yeah, just a bunch of crosses. You haven't looked that close? No, there's stuff in there. There's actually, I can't remember the exact scripture, but he has like a scripture tattoo and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Really?
But that doesn't mean that, you know, you became a born-again Christian, but I think with getting sober, going into a rehab program, into AA.
Well, AA is largely built on ideas of a higher power.
Sure, exactly.
So that's a big part of rehab.
So it kind of makes sense, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
No matter what you believe.
Yeah, we don't care about any of that.
I personally think that that's cool that he, if that's the case, that he found something that helped him become the James that he is today.
You know? I totally agree.
I mean, you and I don't see eye to eye on that kind of stuff, and that's fine. We can still be friends. We can
coexist. So on the eye of the beholder.
Exactly. Not on this list.
Okay.
Great song, though.
Where are we at?
All right, number two. This was tough. Disposable Heroes.
Fuck yeah.
Not often played live.
One of the most brutal right-hand riffs.
Yeah, totally. And a song, and we talked about this on the Puppets episode, a song that never ends. You think it ends as the trash can ending, and then all of a sudden it just goes...
You got to explain what a trash can ending is.
Because
they might think you're talking about the snare sound on St. Anger.
I don't want to talk about that right now. basically, a trash can ending is, you know, you finish the last chorus, you hit
the last note, and
one note, and you just, everyone rings out. Lars does this very well. He sometimes annoyingly just, you know, hits the cymbals like crazy, goes into all the toms, and brrr, you know, everyone's playing stuff.
But they do the trash can into like a fake cool.
Back into the, you know, one of the main riffs, you know, which is cool. You know, I still listen to that song sometimes and I'm like, oh, the song's done. Oh, no, it's not.
And I'm glad it's not.
And
number one, deep cut.
Number one, and I will do this.
Oh, delete that.
Actually, no, I want to keep this for records.
open it back up.
Whatever. My number one deep cut, Dyer's Eve.
Yes. I thought on your top 10 I was missing Dyer's Eve from you because I know you love that song.
I love that song. And they don't often play it live.
Because it's so fast and it's so brutal.
It's so fast. We've talked about, I think, you know, on the boom, 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 boom.
Catching the...
For sure, Lars symbols. Didn't catch his own cymbals in the studio. For sure.
Yeah.
There's no way.
The other Fleming did. Oh, no. Yeah, the other Fleming probably did.
The drum tech.
The drum tech guy that worked at Sweet
There's
Silence.
A good chance. Now, I might be speculating, but I don't know. I like to think that, I mean, that's fast.
That's too fast. It's like insanely fast. Like
maybe Dave Lombardo can do it.
Oh, boy.
Like, I play drums, and catching a cymbal and then going into a triplet that fast, bump, 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 bump.
It's like the show we were talking about where Dave filled in for Lars for that one show where Lars couldn't finish the show. It's like they played Dyer's Eve and James is like, sorry, Lars, you're out. Dave kind of killed the shit that you can't play live.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a drummer out there, plenty of drummers that
murders
probably
that.
Can do it, but I don't know. It's tough. Either way, I think that song is so
That's a great pick,
good.
Man. Dyer's Eve is a great gem.
Hetfield's delivery in that song, especially when he says the line, I've outgrown that fucking lullaby.
Yeah.
The way he says it is so good.
It's killer. I know.
Oh, man. The song doesn't let up. That song, I almost think, could be a opening track on Justice.
Mm.
If you flip-flop Blackened and Justice, I'm sorry, Blackened and Dyer's Eve, imagine if you put in the Justice CD, LP, cassette, whatever, and it started off. I mean,
musically, I agree. Lyrically, thematically, I think it works really well as a closing.
Sure,
but I'm with you. Man, Blackened being the last song, that's tough.
Maybe not the last, or maybe the first song off on side B.
We did do a resequence of Puppets. It would be fun to talk about resequencing Justice.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll do that in the future.
You have to uncurl your fucking list because we have to read them down. We have to recap your...
Sorry. I was just like... closure. Sorry. It actually looks more metal now. All right. Number 10, The Outlaw Torn. Number 9, The Ends of Sanity. Number 8, Don't Tread on Me. Number 7, Unforgiven 3. Number 6, To Live is to Die. Number 5, Trapped Under Ice. Number 4, Metal Militia. Number 3, The God That Failed. Number 2, Disposable Heroes. Number 1, Dyer's Eve.
Very good. And like the previous list, we have a little bit of overlap here. A little less.
All right,
let's
see.
We have some overlap. My number 10, top 10 deep cuts is, and Load and Reload sort of permeate my entire Metallica palette.
Totally.
Number 10 for me, The House That Jack Built.
Okay.
Which is track 3 on Load.
Very deep cut.
I love the chorus. I love the very creepy verses. It sounded like they were doing some really experimental stuff with James's voice. It's very cool.
Yeah.
It definitely is not going to make my top 10 of all time, but it's my number 10 of deep cuts.
Yeah, that's great.
Enough said.
Good start.
Number 9, Jump in the Fire.
Ooh, nice.
I know it was a single.
Mustaine riff.
I love the so come on. I love the like the young punk aesthetic of Jump in the Fire.
Totally. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's a bit of punk element to that song.
And it became a single in Europe. They decided to make that song a single in Europe when they went over there, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I guess for a moment it might not be considered
especially over Four Horsemen.
Or Seek and Destroy or Hit the Lights. I mean,
totally.
It's so, or Motor Breath even.
Yeah.
So Jump in the Fire, giving some love to Kill 'Em All, man.
Great. I mean, it's a great song.
Great song. Number 8, Better Than You.
Okay.
Deep cut track off Reload.
Okay.
Does not get a lot of love. A lot of songs off Load and Reload have become sort of like cult fan favorites.
Yeah,
Better Than You is not one of them.
Yeah. Well, and Metallica, I mean, in their set list over the years, I mean, they've really stuck to maybe 3 or 4 songs off of those 2 records.
I don't think they've ever played better than you live.
If they have, I don't know about it. I mean, we can look that up at some point, but...
So, I mean, there's at this point, until we get to our Reload episode, there's not a lot to say about Better Than You. But it is my number.
Will Metallica one day, when they do it... Actually, wouldn't this year be the 20th anniversary of Load, or wasn't it?
Load was 95.
Was 95? That was 96. 95?
Well, I'm confused on when they were, like, writing it, making it...
Well, but, like, the release date. Like, they, you know, they did...
I consider the Load Reload era 95 to 98, and kind of including the Poor Touring Me...
Right. I'm just thinking, like, you know, when they, you know, the 30th anniversary of Master of Puppets happened, they played
look up
it front
actually
to back.
Look up the release date of Load while we're here. Let's just get this right while we're here.
All right. Let's see. I'm like, as I'm looking this up, I'm just saying I'm surprised that they didn't do a 20th anniversary show and play all these songs.
But those records are sort of like historically not loved records.
Sure, but I mean, there's plenty of people that will sell out an arena and watch them do it. I would go do it. I don't love every song off that record.
Cunning Stunts is probably pound for pound my favorite live DVD, and that's that tour.
That is, yeah. Yeah, Load was 96.
What month?
Let's see. Load came out May 1st. I'm sorry, June 4th, 96.
Wow, okay.
So this last year, which we just had, would have been the 20th anniversary of that record. I know that they posted about it and on social media
and stuff.
But
they've just been rolling out the... they did the Puppets book, Back to the Front.
Totally.
They did the Ride the Lightning. Maybe they're going to save that for the 30th.
Or maybe they were just like masking the fact that it was 20 years. And they're like, we're not going to do all those songs
ever. We're not ready to play Better Than
totally.
You.
Exactly.
Well, nevertheless, it's my number 8. And if you guys are down on that tune, I honestly recommend driving in your car and playing that song fucking loud. Because Better Than You kicks ass. It's one of my favorites. Number 7, Deep Cuts, top 10. Number 7, To Live Is To Die.
Nice. Okay.
Which you mentioned on your list. What was it on your list?
On my list, it was number 6.
So we don't need to keep going there. My number 6, My Friend of Misery, which I believe was on your top 10.
That was number 8 of my top 10. I love that song.
Beautiful intro. A beautiful, in the 17 years of Jason with all the sort of shitty history and them picking on him and it sort of ending with enmity.
Yep.
That's a nice little moment. It's his little moment to shine on
it
the Black
totally
Album.
Is, and live, like, you know, he would, you know.
He would sit down on the riser.
Totally. And there'd be a spotlight on him and on nobody else, and the crowd would go crazy. And, like, no, that.
It's a very cool song, and a song that I mentioned while you were giving your list. If that song weren't buried on a record of monster songs, would have been a song in the forefront.
I think
so. If it were on a lesser record.
I agree.
If My Friend of Misery was on Load or Reload. I mean, shit.
Oh, that could have easily been a single, for sure.
So, moving on. Number 5, Escape.
Escape.
Oh, I love
that. The song that wasn't as poppy as Trapped Under Ice.
The song that people think we're talking about when we say Trapped Under Ice.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's great. I love the uplifting chorus. I love that it's in the key of A. I love that it's just A to G to F sharp.
And they've played it like...
They played it one time. Just once.
Ever? Do you think they played it like on like while they were touring Ride the Lightning?
As far as documents exist, they've only played it once, and it was in
like
2012.
That's crazy, though. Like you would think, like, let's say you're touring Ride the Lightning. I mean, you're only touring your second record, mm-hmm. and if you're headlining any show,
it's minimum 90 minutes.
I mean, their songs were long, you know, or longer than most, you know, pop bands and stuff. But man.
If you watch the one video of them playing it live, James is like embarrassed even to introduce it.
Oh yeah, which is crazy to me.
That song kicks ass.
It kicks ass. Yeah, sure. That chorus is a little bit, dare I say, poppy. It's catchy. It's major. It's in a major key for you.
It also
music guys out there.
It's in a major key, right? Which is sort of anti-metal at the time.
Yeah.
But this was 1982, man. 82, 83.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I think it's a great song.
And to me, it kind of sounds like a punk song, too. Like, I know James has a lot of punk
totally
in him. It felt like kind of Ramones-y.
Yeah.
Life on my own, love that way.
Oh, if you sped that up at, like, you know, a good 10 BPM, and it was just like...
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I think that's what he was doing.
Probably.
So that might actually be my most beloved deep cut here, even though it's number five. Number four, Carpe Diem, baby.
Oh, okay.
Super deep cut from Reload.
Yeah, totally.
Which I've been reading on the Metallica forums is like a fan favorite now, which is weird.
I do like that song. I have added it to my re-reload track listing. Combining
that, did that make your EP, your reimagined EP?
Well, it's slowly becoming a full record, but yeah. we'll talk about that when we do Load and Reload.
I remember when Reload came out, I was reading like a guitar magazine where they were talking to James about the lyrics. And he specifically mentioned that lyric because there's a lyric that says, then make me miss you. Yeah. He was like, yeah, all of our fans think that that's wimpy or lame, but he was like getting into his whole like, oh, it's like actually really strong to show your feelings.
Right.
Hetfield thing.
I mean, it's, you know.
But I agree with him and I've always resonated with that.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think it's got a fucking great swaggery hook.
It totally does.
Yeah. The riff to Carpe Diem Baby is like swagger. Number three, Disposable Heroes.
Okay.
The Right Hand we mentioned on your list, because that was on your list too.
Yeah, on mine, that is number two.
I recommend checking out the France show, the Nîmes show, of them playing Disposable Heroes flawlessly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Nothing more to say about that. Number two, another Reload song.
Okay.
Low Man's Lyric.
Oh, okay.
A very long ballad with the hurdy-gurdy melody.
The hurdy-gurdy.
It's a hurdy-gurdy, I think is what it's called, right?
Yeah.
You're looking at me like that's not a thing.
Hurdy-gurdy.
It's called a hurdy-gurdy. It's an instrument.
A hurdy-gurdy? It's an actual instrument?
It's called a hurdy-gurdy. Oh,
what's
Christ.
A hurdy-gurdy?
Oh, Jesus. While I'm going to talk about the lyrics.
I'm going to look up what this is while you talk about this song, because a hurdy-gurdy?
What I've read about Loman's lyric is that they actually recorded it kind of like standard Metallica with kind of Bob Rock, you know, sheen.
Yeah.
But then they wanted to break it down and make it kind of more fucked up. So they got that instrument. Look up Low Man's Lyric.
Well, before that, I looked up a hurdy-gurdy and it kind of looks like a violin and a dulcimer.
So it's a thing.
No, it's a thing.
Well, that's look, what it's on there.
Take a look.
That's it.
I've never heard of a hurdy-gurdy.
It's the featured melodic instrument on Low Man's
Lyric.
Sure,
I believe you. I'm just saying I've never heard of a hurdy-gurdy until... right now.
You definitely looked at me like you didn't believe me.
Because I didn't. Related instruments are a bowed clavier.
I know, but now I'm at the point where I want you to confirm its correlation to Metallica. We've established that it's a thing. Now can we just confirm that it was used on this song?
I'm going to try my best as we're recording this. List of musicians using the hurdy-gurdy.
When Reload came out, they did an MTV special where it was like, you guys can correct me because I'm sure you remember better than me, of like Metallica rehearsing in a warehouse.
Yeah.
And Low Man's Lyric was one of the songs they played. But they did some really cool shit for the show where like they had a fan come up and play Master of Puppets with them on bass or something.
Okay.
They were like in a warehouse just rehearsing and a bunch of fans like sitting around.
Okay, yeah. I just got to a Wikipedia page.
Oh, Lord.
Hang on. Recordings featuring the hurdy-gurdy.
Thank God.
I can't.
Is that real? Are you really reading that?
Yeah, but I haven't clicked on anything to look at Metallica yet.
Oh, God damn
Germany,
it.
France. Hang on. We'll get there. Although, okay, so here's what I Google searched. Hurdy-gurdy Metallica. The first thing is a Wikipedia article that says recordings featuring the hurdy-gurdy.
Please let
Low Man's The next search result is Metallica Low Man's Lyric.
Thank God. Sweet validation.
Actually, the next like 10 things are that song.
Because the hurdy-gurdy's only been used on one song.
Here's the thing on Reddit. The most badass hurdy-gurdy solo you will ever hear. All right. And somebody said Metallica has become the Simpsons of the music world. Oh. What the hell? So Metallica used a hurdy-gurdy. My musical knowledge has been expanded thanks to Clint tonight.
Well, before I go insane with humiliation, can we go to my number one?
Please.
One deep cut.
Get me off the hurdy-gurdy.
Number one deep cut of all time, and this remains the thing that should not be.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Such a fucking rad song. Another song that I think could have been on the Black Album.
Agreed,
no problem.
Agreed. And didn't we talk about this on the Puppets episode? That was the first down-tuned song.
Their Drop D. Yep. Right. It's very sludgy. Because I read that they wanted that riff is a... they wanted to simulate what it would have sound like for a monster to be like sludging around.
It's kind of sludgy. I love that song.
Love the lyric.
In recent years too, we all know that, like, you know, there's been this obviously shift in James, excuse me, James's voice. He's got to protect his voice. He's got to do 2-hour sets, whatever. But when it's not often when they have played that song, he brings out that old school Hetfield growl,
right?
And it's
because it's
so
kind of
good.
Necessary.
It totally is. Yeah.
Also, great hurdy gurdy solo.
Looking hurdy gurdy. Oh my gosh. No.
This has become the hurdy gurdy episode.
See, you've spent way more time with Load and Reload than I have, and yeah, looking hurdy gurdy.
You really had me thinking for a minute that I might have made this whole hurdy-gurdy thing.
Well, no, forgive me, because I didn't know what that instrument was.
I
know a lot about a lot
of
instruments, but I've never heard of a hurdy-gurdy until tonight. Mark this down on our podcast historical calendar. Ethan discovered a hurdy-gurdy January 3rd or whatever today is.
I was so relieved when you confirmed that it was actually on the record.
Well, I mean, I didn't actually confirm it. I just searched Metallica hurdy-gurdy or... vice versa, and the first 10 posts are about Low Man's lyrics. So
to recap my Clint's top 10 deep cuts: number 10, House of Jack Built; number 9, Jump in the Fire; number 8, Better Than You; number 7, To Live Is to Die; number 6, My Friend in Misery; number 5, Escape; number 4, Carpe Diem Baby; number 3, Disposable Heroes; number 2, Low Man's lyric, the hurdy-gurdy masterpiece; number 1, The Thing That Should Not Be.
Oh my gosh, that's a solid list though. Hurdy gurdy or not,
I think
that's
both
a solid
of our
list.
Lists say a lot about us as fans.
They totally do. Yeah. But, you know, everyone listening, we would love to hear yours. Give us your all-time top 10. Give us your top 10 deep cuts.
Yeah, send them to us. We're going to read a few of them on a subsequent podcast. So.
You don't necessarily have to like give us an explanation as to why. We just want to see a list. Like, I'm looking at my crumpled up now. Unfolded
because you in a moment of passion crumpled your list.
I felt like it was pretty brutal. My move. It was very. I was about to make a hurdy gurdy joke, but no, I can't do it right now. No, but we would love to hear from you guys. You know, if you want to email us at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com, give us your top 10 all time favorite Metallica songs. Give us your top 10 all time favorite deep cuts. We would love to read a few of them on the show. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll spark more conversation, spark some interest, and it's, you know, to each their own. I mean, somebody might have just listened to my deep cut list and be like, oh, fuck that, that's stupid.
Well, I would encourage anyone, too, especially if either of our lists contain songs that you think are complete bullshit to be on these lists, make an iTunes playlist of these lists and just check it out.
Yeah, totally.
That would be fun, too.
Yeah, make a playlist of our top 10 songs.
I'm going to make a playlist of your list.
Okay. Maybe we should exchange lists, and mine's kind of crumpled, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks for fucking up your list to give to me.
It looks cooler now, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, feel free to email us your lists, some feedback, whatever. MetalPeerPodcastShow@gmail.com.
And here's a cool thing, too, man, is this podcast is growing, and we're getting a lot of feedback. A lot of people are listening. Please help us spread the word. Tell your Metallica nerd buds. Post it on your social media world.
All your friends that play the hurdy-gurdy.
All your friends
I can't even hold a straight face and say that shit. Hurdy-gurdy.
Go to hurdygurdy.com and let all the hurdy-gurdy players know that Metallica fans want to talk about the hurdy-gurdy.
There's some dude out there listening right now that plays the hurdy-gurdy, and he's like so pissed.
He's like playing the hurdy-gurdy while he's listening, like practicing.
And then I start like making fun of it, and he
like smashes his hurdy-gurdy.
And then he's like, I should delete it.
Deletes that.
I'm sorry to all you hurdy-gurdy players out there.
All two of you.
It's my ignorance. I didn't know that was an instrument. That's also that also goes to show, which we'll find out in the Load Reload era episodes. My knowledge of those records and what is all entailed with them is much smaller than yours.
Well, wait till we get to Saint Anger.
then we're both fucked.
I have very little knowledge of that whole
That's
record.
Where we pull in, like, an outside source.
That's when we get Lars's dad.
Yeah, and yeah, he'll tell us to delete it right away. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, Top thanks 10. For listening. That was fun.
Yeah, totally fun. That actually that went longer than I expected. We're about an hour and 5 minutes, and I thought that was going to be like a 30-minute episode. But the cool thing about a top 10 list, no matter what the subject is, deep cuts, all time, whatever, it invokes conversation and thoughts on certain songs.
Your top 10 hurdy gurdy.
We need to stop with the hurdy gurdy shit. All right. All y'all and your hurdy-gurdies, have a good night. Happy New Year, whatever.
Happy hurdy-gurdy to all.
Jeez. Okay, I think it's time
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, seriously, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Say, then I would say, delete that.